Hello, I'm Father Benedict Rochelle of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal in the South Bronx in New York. And this is the first segment of a little mini-series I'm doing, Introducing St. Augustine. Those of you who are familiar with my programs know that I very, very frequently quote this great Christian theologian. And so many people who write to me are saying to me, well, who is this St. Augustine? And particularly people who are not Roman Catholics don't seem to be familiar with him. He does, after all, have a city named after himself in the United States, the city of St. Augustine, Florida. Slightly different pronunciation because the original name of that city is Sant Agostino, the Spanish version of his name. And his mother has a city named after her, Santa Monica, California. St. Augustine is one of the greatest theologians of Christianity and one of its most prolific writers. At the time of his death, he left a library of 5 million written words. No typewriters, no printing press, no Xerox, no real paper. He wrote on parchment. And in those days, he was fortunate enough to be a bishop so that he could have a scriptorium, a group of people who wrote his books out for him because they couldn't be printed. St. Augustine deeply influenced the theology not only of Catholicism, but of the Protestant world. His influence is very strong. Martin Luther was a monk of the order of St. Augustine. St. Thomas Aquinas, the great Catholic theologian of the Middle Ages, quotes St. Augustine on almost every page of his writings. He founded a religious community that is spread throughout the world, and many religious, even though their order does not bear his name, like the Dominicans, follow the rule of St. Augustine. So I thought I would introduce you to somebody who is, in some respects, my most faithful teacher. In the following of the gospel, most of us have teachers. Some of us have patron saints. Because I'm a Franciscan, my patron or father is St. Francis of Assisi. But because I love to read him and have read him almost every day since I was 15 years old, I would say that St. Augustine is my teacher. He wouldn't particularly like that, though, because he used to use a phrase which goes, with God as my teacher. And we'll see how this phrase comes along. Now, one of the reasons you might be very interested in St. Augustine is because he was very similar to a lot of people of our time. He sowed wild oats. He's one of the great converts of the church, like St. Paul. And in fact, if you go in Jerusalem to the Church of San Pietro in Gallicantu, the Church of St. Peter at the Crowing of the Cock, which is built over the ruins of the house of the high priest where Christ was tried, you will see in the windows and walls of that church the images of many saints who were sinners, who were converts. David, the good thief, St. Paul, St. Mary Magdalene, St. Mary of Egypt, and of course, St. Augustine. Recently, I published a book on St. Augustine. It's an introduction to his writings. It's published by Crossroad Press in New York, and it has a rather remarkable cover made by a seminarian named John Lynch, who often does covers for my book. And it shows St. Augustine with a very manly, if I may say so, Italian face. St. Augustine, although he lived in Africa, was really a Roman. North Africa at that time was a Roman colony. And he was a very macho person, a very manly person. So many times you see his picture, he looks kind of pale, like he needs vitamin pills. And he was a very, very down-to-earth, no-nonsense, meat-and-potatoes sort of person. although he was a magnificent world-class writer. And so we chose this cover because St. Augustine says one place, "What is this light that shines upon me without wounding me and breaks through the cloud of my darkness?" And you see in this picture the divine light coming down on St. Augustine. Let's start with a few of the facts. They're simple enough. I'm just going to do three programs on him: Augustine the convert, Augustine the theologian of the spirit, and Augustine the spiritual director. He's great at giving spiritual advice. He was born in 354 in Tagaste, a small city in the northern province of Africa, the Roman province, which was then called Numidia. His father and his father's relatives were all pagans. His mother was an extremely devout Christian. He was a bright kid, went to school, did very well, but very quickly, although he was inscribed to be baptized, he was a candidate for baptism called a catechumen, he left the catechumenate of the church and moved into a life of debauchery. The Roman Empire was very pagan at that point. Although the religion was officially Christianity, many people remained pagans and acted in a very paganistic way. And he went and studied in Carthage and in other places, which he said were boiling cauldrons of lust. He got involved in the whole thing. Finally, he got fed up and he joined the New Age. Now, the New Age is really not so very new. There was a form of it then called Manichaeanism, built around the beautiful books of a certain Mani. And so he gave up the life of debauchery for Manichaeanism, which taught that there were two gods, a good god and an evil god, and that the entire world of matter, including the human body, was the product of the evil god. Finally, he gave that up. He was teaching now. He was what we would call a professor in northern Africa, then in Milan, part-time in Rome. Was very well respected, and by this time he belonged to a religious movement based on the philosophy of the great Greek philosopher Plato. And although these people, Plotinus and Porphyrius and others, were somewhat hostile to Christianity, an amazing number of their disciples became Christians. And Augustine began to be drawn in this way. Now, while all this was going on, there were two ladies in his life. One was a common law wife, we would say a concubine. For reasons that he never specifies, it was not possible for him socially to marry this woman. Probably she was a freed woman. She was faithful to him, and he was faithful to her, but they were not married. And they had a son whom they called a gift from God, a Deodatus. His mother was the other woman in his life, and she was praying. Good heavens, was she praying. And she had had a dream when he was a youngster that she saw him standing on a ruler, a huge ruler. She didn't know what it meant, but she prayed and prayed for Augustine. And as time went on, things went from bad to worse. He was a real brat. One time he was going to Rome to teach, and she was afraid to let him go alone. So they went down to the seaside to take the boat from North Africa to Italy. And he didn't want her to go. So he said, "Now, Mother, you just sit here with the bags, and I'll go down the beach and find out when the next boat is coming." And he left her there sitting on the beach and took the boat to Rome and left his mother sitting there. A brat. Well, finally he became much disenchanted with Neoplatonism. And he started to think about Christianity. He started to read the scriptures and other Christian books. And he said, "From then on, I resolved that I would never read a book that did not include the name of Jesus Christ." but he did not believe that Christ was the Son of God. He liked Christ, but he was getting more and more fed up with his sinful life, and he was drawing further and further away from it. Finally, his common-law wife decided that she better leave him because he was supposed to get married to a girl he could marry. And so we read this in the sixth book of the Confessions of St. Augustine, which is one of his great books. He wrote three great books, the Confessions, the City of God, and the Trinity, and many smaller books. And so in the sixth book of the Confessions, and I'd like to get you to read the Confessions in a modern translation, there are many. He says, "Meantime, my sin was multiplied, and she whom I had lived with so long was torn by my side as a hindrance to my forthcoming marriage. My heart, which held her very dear, was broken and wounded and shed blood. She went back to Africa swearing that she would never know another man, and left me with the son I had had by her. But in my unhappiness, I could not for all my manhood imitate her resolve. I was unable to bear the delay of 2 years which must pass before I was to get the girl I had asked for in marriage. In fact, it was not really marriage I wanted. I was simply a slave of lust. But praise be to you, glory be to you, O fountain of mercies, O God, because I became more wretched, and you came closer to me. And your right hand was ready to pick me up from the mud and wash me clean, although I did not know it, I did not know it. So far nothing called me back from the depths of carnal pleasure, save fear of death and the judgment which was to come. My soul turned and turned again, on back, on sides, on belly, and the bed was always hard, for you alone are the rest of our souls, and you are close at hand to deliver us from the wretchedness of error, and to establish us in your ways, and to console us with your word. Quotes, run, I shall bear you up and bring you and carry you to the end." And so Augustine was torn. He could see a decent, good, even Christian life ahead of him, but he couldn't find the way there. He says, "It is one thing to see the land of peace from a wooded mountaintop, and yet not to find the way to it, and struggle hopelessly far from the way, with all the deserters from God, led by the dragon, all around you, lying in wait." Augustine had a good friend named Alypius. Alypius eventually became a bishop, like Augustine. And he and Alypius were sitting one day in a garden. He started to compose things. "I was sick in my heart and in torment, accusing myself with new intensity of bitterness, twisting and turning on my chain in the hope that it might be utterly broken, for what held me was so small a thing, but it held me nonetheless. And you stood in the secret places of my soul, O Lord, in the harshness of your mercy, redoubling the scourges of fear and shame, lest I should give way again, and that slight tie which remained should not be broken, but should grow again to full strength, and bind me ever closer than before." It seems to me that Augustine here has broken with the second girlfriend, and that what he is really talking about is solitary sins of lust. Masturbation. "And I said to myself, let it be now, let it be now. And by the mere words I had begun to move toward a resolution. I didn't fall back to my original state, but as it were I stood there to get my breath, and I shrank from dying to death so that I might live to life. And all those vanities of vanities, my one-time mistresses, held me back, plucking at the garment of my flesh and murmuring softly, "Are you sending us away? From this moment, we will never be with you again. Can you live without us forever? Forever. Can you live without this or that?" But now I began to hear these voices not half so loud. They no longer stood against me face to face, but muttered behind my back as I tried to depart, plucking stealthily at me to make me look behind. And yet even that was enough, so hesitating was I, to keep me from snatching myself free, from shaking them off and leaping upwards. And the voice of habit said, "Can you live without us?" And so Augustine was so upset that he started to cry. He was reading the Epistle to the Romans, and he started to cry. And he said, how long, let it be now, let it be now. But another voice within him kept saying, "Tomorrow, tomorrow." And he was weeping, he says, this is in the 8th book of the Confessions, "most bitter sorrow in my heart." And he heard a voice from the next yard, the voice of a little girl or a little boy singing, "Toliat lege, toliat lege. Take and read." He said, I asked myself, did I ever hear those words in a game that children play? And he said, no. So he thought it was a sign from God. And he held back his tears. And he got up from under the tree he was laying, crying. And he went back to his friend Alypius, who was sitting there reading. And Paul, he had been reading St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. And remember, they didn't have books. They only had scrolls. And he threw open the scroll because he had remembered that St. Anthony of Egypt had found the words of God and what to do by opening the Bible. So he says, "I'll open the scroll and I'll look at the first words." And these are the words that he read from Romans 13:13. This is the old translation. "Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurity, not in contention and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh and its weakness." And he writes, "I had no wish to read further. I had no need. For in that instant, with the very ending of the sentence, it was as though a light of utter confidence shone in my heart, and all the darkness of uncertainty vanished. And leaving my finger in the place, I closed the book and in complete calm told the whole thing to Alypius. And he told me what had been going on in him, of which I knew nothing. He asked to see what I read. I showed it to him and he looked further, because I had not known what followed. And this is what followed. Now him that is weak in faith, take with you. He applied this to himself and told me so. He was confirmed by this message, and with no troubled wavering gave himself to God's good will and purpose, a purpose indeed most suited to his character, because in these matters he had been immeasurably better than I had been." Now this is all happening with his mother in the house, and I'm going to read to you now some of the most beautiful lines in the literature of the whole world. Remember, this woman had prayed for almost 20 years. She had cried. One time a bishop saw her crying in church, and he said, "What are you crying about?" And she said, "I'm crying for my son, that he will not be lost." And the bishop said, "The child of these tears will not be lost." Remember her dream about him standing on the ruler, which she knew was the rule of faith. Augustine writes, "Then we went in to my mother, and we told her to her great joy. And we related how it had come about. And she was filled with triumphant exultation. And she praised you, who are mighty beyond what we ask or conceive. For she saw that you had given me her more than with all her pitiful weeping she had ever asked. You had converted me to yourself, so that I no longer sought a wife or the promises of this world, but stood on that same rule of faith which you had shown me, by which you had shown me to her so many years before. And thus you changed her mourning into joy. What a beautiful experience. And thus began one of the most fruitful careers of an apostle of Jesus Christ that has ever been lived in the world. Augustine was baptized by Saint Ambrose in the Cathedral of Milan. He had been listening to Ambrose's sermons. He and his mother started back for Africa with his brother, but they never got beyond Rome. And she died there in Rome and is buried to this day near the church called the Pantheon in the church of St. Augustine. He then went back to Africa and became a monk. He started his own little monastery called the Servants of God, made up of men rich and poor who lived a very poor common life and who did Christian good works. He avoided going to towns where they needed a bishop because he was afraid that he was going to be elected bishop by the people. And finally he went to the little town of Hippo, which had a bishop, Valerius. And as he described it later, they grabbed me. And he was made assistant bishop to Valerius. Was the last thing he wanted. He said to the people, "What unites me with you, holy baptism, fills me with confidence. What places you over me, ordination as a bishop, fills me with dread, because I have such great responsibilities. And you must pray for me, that I will always learn at this desk of the Good Shepherd, whose desk is now in heaven, but whose desk on earth was the cross." Augustine worked from 395 to 430 as bishop of Hippo after the death of Valerius. He made a profound contribution to Christian theology. He fought the heresy called Pelagianism, which denied original sin and ultimately denied that Jesus was the Savior of the world. And he saw to it that Pelagianism was condemned by the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, and finally, as a result of his work, after his death, Pelagianism was condemned by the whole church and the Council of Ephesus. He also fought against the Arians, who maintain that there is no Holy Trinity. We have Arians around today. People who claim that Christ is not the Son of God and equal to the Father. He fought against the Donatists, who taught that sinners had to be rebaptized. He worked with Saint Jerome on the publication of the first authentic, accurate copy of the New Testament and of the whole Bible in Latin, called the Vulgate. And it was due to the efforts of Saint Augustine that the completed final list was made of what books belong in the New Testament. It was through his efforts that the Epistle to the Hebrews and the Book of Revelation were contained in the New Testament. He wrote extensively about original sin, actual sin, human freedom, marriage as a sacrament. Although he is maligned, St. Augustine was the first Christian theologian to say that women were made in the image of God, as were men. He took the quotation from St. Paul and compared it to the other quotations of Paul, that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, because Paul had said, men are made in the image of God, women in the image of men. And he pointed out that that was one way of looking at it, but there were many other teachings in the writings of Paul and in the whole New Testament to make it clear that women are equal to men. As a matter of fact, he often said that women were more virtuous than men. He is the only ancient Christian writer to ever include a woman, his mother, in his discussions. This is something that the pagan philosophers would not have accepted at all. He defended marriage, he defended the family, he worked all of his life as a bishop, seldom leaving his home city of Hippo. He fought against paganism, and in the last years of his life, he remained faithful to his flock as Roman North Africa was being destroyed by the Arian Vandals. As a matter of fact, the year after his death, the city of Hippo was burned, and almost miraculously, his library was brought to Italy, and his body to Cagliari and Sardinia, and then to Pavia, where it is buried now. I'm going to tell you more about Augustine in our next segment, but you wonder why I got so interested as a little boy. And it was one line I read. You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. It was St. Augustine who taught me, along with St. Paul, the absolute devotion to Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so if you join me for the next segment, we will talk about St. Augustine, the great theologian of the Spirit, the great theologian of the Christian spiritual life. Thank you. Remember, he has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in God.